You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, June 24th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Rapture.
We'll go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. We've been talking about things to come. This morning we'll talk about the rapture. Again, we'll note this verse and the verses that follow, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The last time that we spoke on the things to come, we talked about a pre-rapture society. And today, as we talk about the rapture, we're going to note some things here that could be very, very helpful to us. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. You're not going to be able to open your Bible this morning and go to the back of your Bible, perhaps, and in the concordance, find the word rapture. However, it's a very biblical term. The word rapture would give you the idea, if you will, of course, talked about in the scriptures, very defined in the scriptures, as a matter of fact, as you see the word rapture being defined. And it's the catching away is what it is. It's almost like somebody would take a needle and they would drop it in a haystack. And then it would take a very, very strong magnet and they would put that magnet over that haystack, and immediately that needle would be drawn to that magnet, will become attached to that magnet. That's the rapture described. As you and I, of course, are children of God, those that have believed in Christ, those that have trusted Christ and Christ only as their way to heaven. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no way that you and I could be able to merit our way to heaven, because no matter what you do, you're still a sinner. But the Bible teaches that you and I owe a price for sin. The Bible talks about the wages of sin is death. The Bible talks about death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So as a sinner, we owe a debt. There's no way we can enter into God's presence without that debt of sin being removed. And Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary so that you and I could have the removing of that sin debt that is held on us by birth and by action. But yet we understand that only through Jesus Christ, can we have eternal life. Jesus speaking says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's not two ways to heaven, as I've often said, or three ways to heaven, or four ways to heaven, or five ways to heaven. It is only one way to heaven. And Jesus specifically says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's the only way to go to heaven. Now, how might that be? Well, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. So everlasting life is not in a baptism this morning, and everlasting life is not in a church membership this morning, and everlasting life is not in trying to be faithful and doing the things that you think is acceptable in the sight of God. But everlasting life is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Eternal life and Jesus Christ is inseparable. You cannot separate one from the other. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, they receive everlasting life, because everlasting life is found only in the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. There's churches that's meeting in metro cities and in country towns and out in the fields somewhere today, and they're preaching another doctrine. They preach the doctrine of works, and they say that you need to be good in order to merit heaven. The only problem with that is you'll never be good enough in order to merit heaven. And even if you tried to be good enough, you could not merit heaven. For the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so it's not according to the works of a righteous man. Matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so God tells you what he thinks about your righteous endeavors in order to merit salvation. No, salvation is not merited, but salvation is given as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It started with the Son of God, our Son of God, if you would. As the Bible says, you know it very well, over in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And so only in Jesus Christ can we have eternal life. Now, I'm glad that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. I am glad, and I can stand here this morning saying confidently that if the rapture was to occur today, then I, as an individual, would be caught up with the Lord in the air. I would be a part of that rapture, the catching away. Why? Not because I'm good, not because I've been baptized, not because I'm a member of a church, but because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, gave me everlasting life on the very second and the very time that I received him as Savior. And so let's study this morning. It's the next prophetic thing that's going to take place according to the scriptures. It's called the rapture. It's the very next thing on God's prophetic timetable. It's called the rapture. And so what's going to take place at the catching away? We know that Satan is going to try to hinder the rapture. The rapture, of course, is when the bridegroom, Christ, comes back to claim his bride. You know, we recently had a wedding as we married Denton and Hannah. And Denton was standing here in the front, and Brother Bryant was pushed down by his wife and came back to the post area back there because it's a little bit more narrow up here. And Denton, we had to try to change some things up to accommodate. And so Denton stood here at the front, and then he walked back to get his bride. May I say that's a perfect example of the rapture, because it is that which is the bridegroom. It is the groom coming to get his bride, all right? And so as he went back to get Hannah, that's a picture of the rapture. Our Lord Jesus is coming again, and he is going to take us with him, if you will. It's going to be a new place. It's going to be a place that is without danger. It's going to be a place where the Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," it says, "together with him." The word "caught up" is where we get the word rapture, or the word "caught" is the word rapture. It's where we get the idea of being caught away or caught up with him in the air. And it talks about here in the Bible where it says that we're going to be caught up together with him in the air. Now, by the way, at that time is when the purging of the earth begins. We're taken out of danger. At that time is when what we call the tribulation period will begin. And 7 years of that tribulation period will begin, when the earth now will undergo the purging, if you will, please, that it will undergo. But no unsaved person will be caught up in the rapture. Only saved people, only those that are blood-washed saints, will be caught up in the rapture. Now, I'm excited about that, because if the rapture was to take place right here today, without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I'd be caught up in that rapture. Why? Because there was a day in my life when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, for the child of God, when they hear about the rapture, there should be no fear. When they hear about the rapture, there should be no question mark in your heart whether you're going to go to be with the Lord. There should be no question mark in your heart whether you're going to be involved in that rapture or not. You ought to be sure that you're going to go in that rapture. I remember Matthew, I can tell about that. He was in the hospital, and mom and dad had been there all night long, and they'd gotten up a little bit early, and they went out to eat breakfast, and he knew that they had been there that night. And of course, when you're hospital, you kind of lose time. You know, you really don't know what time it is. You kind of lose track of some things, and the longer you're in the hospital, the more you lose track of things. And he was there in the bed, and he was used to mom and dad. Matter of fact, when he went to sleep, mom and dad was sleeping in the same bedroom with him, and they had their bedclothes on and stuff like that. And so Matthew wakes up and he looks over there, and all of a sudden he sees their bedclothes, but mom and dad is gone. And so he thought, oh no, you know, I mean, rapture, you know. And he thought maybe the rapture, but he knew that he was saved. And so since he knew that he was saved, he was not questioning the fact of, okay, you know, he was questioning God, like, God, you must have made a mistake because I'm still here. Now, may I say, there is no split rapture. There is no rapture where God will take some and God will leave others. But did you know there's a doctrine out there today that teaches a split rapture? Let me give you some ideas about some false rapture beliefs. Some people think that the rapture and the second coming is the very same thing. Some people think that the rapture, if you will, is Jesus coming in the air and Jesus is coming to take back his saints with him. Well, wait, take back his saints where? Now, wait a minute. When the rapture takes place, it's us going to meet him in the air. Now, the second coming of Christ is when we come back with him. We come back with him. So there's a difference between the rapture of us going to meet him in the air and us coming back with him. Understand this. There is another belief that's what they call a split rapture. Here's what they believe. They believe this. They believe that in the split rapture, there's going to be spiritual Christians are taken in the rapture, and the less spiritual Christians remain for the time of purging and cleansing. So those that are spiritual, walking with God, obeying the things of God, they're taken up in the rapture. But those that are less spiritual, they remain behind because they need to go through the time of purging and the time of cleansing. There are those that believe in what they call a mid-tribulation rapture. Now, here's what they believe. By the way, the Bible says we shall all be changed. All right, so we're all going to be changed at the same time. It's not going to be a split rapture where the spiritual go and those that are less spiritual remain behind. No. The Bible says we shall all be changed, all right? But some believe in a mid-tribulation. What's that? They believe that they'll make it through the first half of the tribulation, but during the second half of the tribulation, at the beginning of the second 3.5 years, then the rapture will take place. But that's not true. Well, preacher, why is that not true? Well, your Bible teaches here that over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 9, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. You're not going to go through the wrathful time of any part of the tribulation. All right? Some people believe this. Some people believe in a post-tribulation. That means at the end of the 7 years, there's going to be a rapture. And then that tribulation, it's at the end of that 7-year tribulation, the rapture will take place. Again, the Bible talks about how we're not appointed unto wrath. Let me give you a correct Bible teaching if I can. We are pre-trib and pre-millennial, if you will, please, rapture. There's going to take place the rapture and then ushers in that which is the tribulation. Okay, so what takes place, and by the way, listen to me, the tribulation will be tribulation first 3.5 years, and then next 3.5 years will be great tribulation. The Bible says, and we'll study the Antichrist next Sunday morning, but the Bible says that he comes with a bow and with an arrow, but that bow and that arrow are not put together. In other words, there's no arrow in the bow. So he comes and he's talking peace, peace, peace. So the first portion of the tribulational period is going to be a time of deceptionness. It's going to be a time of people being deceived. But understand this, you and I will not even be here. See, the very next thing on God's prophetic timetable is that you and I will be raptured out of here. Think about this. There is the facts about the rapture. Take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 13, the Bible says, but I would, watch it now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. All right? And so we had a precious little girl that was killed this past week. And Brother Bryant went home to be with the Lord. All right? He said, look, I don't want you to sorrow as others that have no hope. You see, you and I have a great hope. My mom and daddy went home to be with the Lord many years ago. My mama died when she was 57 years of age. No, I'm sorry, 54 years of age. And my daddy died when he was 57 years of age. But one day I will see them again. That is a great hope. See, we don't need to sorrow as those that have no hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Word of God. And may I say this morning, you can trust your Bible. You cannot trust every book that's out there. And you have a science book that disagrees with the Bible, then you hold your Bible high, friend, because I'm going to tell you, the Bible is true and the science book is a lie. If you have a math book this morning and it disagrees with the Word of God, then you hold your Bible up high and you be proud of your Bible, because your Bible is true and that math book is a lie. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. He is true from the beginning of the beginnings, and he'll be true to the end of the ends. And he is God, and he changes not. He says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. You can trust him. You can trust everything in that book. You can trust everything that God has given you. You don't have to look at that Bible this morning and say, well, I wonder if that's true. I've got news for you. That Bible is true from cover to cover. That Bible is true. Everything that in that Word of God, you can trust. Why? Because he is the Lord thy God, and he changes not. See, the Bible gives us the facts about the rapture. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep, listen to it, in Jesus, the Bible says, will God bring with him. All right, so the Bible talks about here there's going to be that time of that rapture. By the way, if you don't go, you can't come. If you don't go up in the rapture, don't think you're going to be coming with him again. There's going to be a day when we come back with him, but if you don't go, you can't come. See, I'm telling you, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, the very next thing, and it's going to be amazing. Can you imagine the rapture? Can you imagine on an airplane, and all of a sudden now the rapture takes place, and those that are seated on the airplane are taken up, and now they're gone? Can you imagine what it's going to be like on the highways of America? And all of a sudden the rapture takes place, and those that are saved, God is going to take them, and they're going to be called up at the sounding of that trumpet, and they're going to be caught up. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine all of a sudden here's somebody sitting in the chair and they're saved and the dentist is not? He begins to bend over as he progresses to drill, and all of a sudden the person that's the patient disappears. Can you imagine? Boy, can you imagine? Now, the sad thing, can you imagine a choir director getting up the lead singing, and as he leads singing, a rapture takes place, and half the choir is gone. The other half is still here. I'm not saying our choir. Woo! Wrong picture. But can you imagine? Can you imagine here is husband that's been begging for his wife to get saved, and the wife doesn't get saved, and she fixes him an elaborate breakfast and goes upstairs to knock on the door and says, honey, go ahead and get up. I know you worked all night, but I've got this great breakfast for you, and goes to knock on the door, and he doesn't answer because the rapture's already taken place, and she goes running in only to find the bed linens there with no person. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all of a sudden you're having a conversation with somebody across the table, and rapture takes place, and the fork that was in air getting ready to go into the mouth falls to the table, and that person that was having breakfast or a meal with that person right there looks across the table, and the person all of a sudden disappears. What is that called? That is called rapture. See, the very next thing on God's prophetic timetable for the believer is the rapture of those that are saved. So it's going to take place. Just imagine some of the things. You can use your own creativity this morning and imagine some of the things that's going to take place and will take place for real when that rapture takes place. That's why I love our church, and I told about, the little girl that was just tragically killed and 6 years of age in autumn, came to our church for only 6 weeks and went into our Sunshine, that's our beginner class for all of our bus riders, and autumn, 6 years of age, just a couple weeks ago, bowed her heart and received Jesus Christ as Savior, then was in a tragic car accident just a couple days ago and was ushered into the very presence of God. May I say, listen, can you imagine all of those that are saved, all those that have received Christ as Savior, those of us that are left behind, we will have the experience, if the rapture takes place today, we'll have the experience of being raptured up. Can you imagine? I think it's going to be the greatest drawing of people to churches around America and around the world that you ever see in your life. I think people are going to run the church, and they're going to be, I think that churches are going to be overfilled after the rapture. People asking for answers and seeking answers and questions are going to pop up everywhere. Why? Because they don't know what took place, and they're going to be asking and looking and seeking. But wait a minute. Did you know we ought to decide that we don't want anybody left behind? We ought to decide that we don't want those colleagues that work with us at work to be left behind. And we ought to decide that we don't want any relatives to be left behind. We ought to decide we don't want any husband or any wife to be left behind. We ought to decide that we don't want any children left behind. Why? Because that rapture is going to take place. Let me give you some facts about it. Statement number one, it's the cemetery triumph. It is the time when the graves, according to the Bible, in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will be empty. The Bible says, and if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so them, it says, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. All right, so the Bible talks about it's going to be a time when the graves will empty. It's going to be a time when God raises those that are in the grave. Now, by the way, when there's no soul sleep. May I help you, please? When a person dies, their soul immediately goes into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, when I die, what happens is I'm immediately ushered into the presence of God. Now my body goes back to that which is the dust. But one day, are you listening to me? One day when the rapture takes place, that body is going to come out of that grave. And that body is going to be reunited with that soul. And one day, you're going to have a glorified body. There will be no more need of glasses. There will be no more need of a wheelchair. There will be no more need of a walker. There will be no more need of that which is something to help you with your crippling arthritis. There will be no more need of going to the doctor. There will be no more need of going to somebody else in order to be able to get a nutritional type of help. May I say, when that rapture takes place, you and I will be gone. Now, listen to me. There's the hazard of the grave. It is the grave's worst hazard. Why? Because the grave cannot contain a saved person. It is the hope of the resurrection. It is the power, if you would please, over that which is the body to be brought out of that grave. Oh, watch this. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, here's what your Bible says. Listen to this. This is neat. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the Bible says, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall, it says, be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. It says, for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about at the time of the rapture, what takes place. How does it take place? The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. So at the light of the twinkling of an eye, you and I are going to be changed at that rapture time. At the twinkling of an eye, everything changes. Over in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and or chapter 4 rather, in verse 14, the Bible says, for we shall say unto you by the word of the Lord, it says that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, he says, shall not prevent them which are asleep. So the very first thing that takes place at the time of the rapture is those graves break open. And those that are dead, those bodies that are in those graves will come out by the power of God, will come out of those graves and will reunite with their soul. Then those of us that remain, those of us that are alive in Christ, those of us that have not yet faced death, those of us will be caught up, the Bible says, to meet him in the air together with them, together with them. Man, it's going to happen at the twinkling of an eye. Look down, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 16. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend, it says, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So here's some things we understand. On the day of the rapture, here's what takes place. There's going to be the Lord's shout. There's going to be the Lord's shout. Now, wait a minute. Who hears the shout? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And it says, know my sheep. And I'm known of them. Only those that we hear the shout are those that have the shepherd. nobody else will hear the shout. And so what takes place is at the shout, over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, come up hither. So those that are saved will hear the shout. Okay, watch this. You're in a crowd. You're a child, and you have a mom, and your mom begins to shout like everybody else's mom begins to shout, but only your mom knows your name. So your mom shouts your name. You identify with that, number one, because it's your name. But number two, because nobody shouts like mama shouts. Is that right? All right, let's say you're in a crowd and you're playing ball and all the dads are standing up and all the dads are hooray, hooray, go, go, go. And they're shouting for you to play the game. But wait a minute, there's only one dad over there that's shouting your name. Who is that? Well, that's your dad. But wait a minute, even if he wasn't shouting your name, you know his shout. You know, I can call people on the phone that I haven't talked to in years, preachers. And I'll say, hey, just calling up to check on you. How you doing? And they know immediately the tone of my voice. They know who I am simply by the tone of my voice. May I say, we even go deeper than that here, because this is the Lord. And what happens here is he has that shout, and those that identify with the shout is only those that have received him as Savior. Then the Bible says the voice of the archangel. All right, so there's going to be the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine how explosive this is? I mean, he's descending from heaven and at the same time a shout. Well, that's going to be it. That's going to be better than any movie opener you ever seen. I mean, here he's coming down and coming in the clouds. Can you imagine that? I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. You know, here he is in the heavens and he's descending down. And as he's descending down, I'm going to break my neck. As he's descending down, he's going to descend down with a shout. That's amazing. But only you and I that are saved will hear the shout. You know, we'll hear the shout, and it's going to happen that quick. The Bible says, look at your Bible one more time. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, Lord himself shall descend with a shout. It says, shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Now, what is that all about? What is that trump of God all about? Well, the Bible talks about the Lord is the Redeemer. He's the one, if you would please, is the one that's going to usher in the rapture. May I remind you some things that take place. There's that him descending. There is that shout. There is that voice. And there's that trumpet. The trumpet always was blown for certain events that would take place. Many times a trumpet was blown for that which would start a war or a battle. So now you have to understand, at the very second that the rapture takes place, the tribulation period begins. There's the catching away of the saints. So what happens is that trumpet is blown, and when that trumpet is blown, and it ushers in the tribulation period. It's going to usher in a time like the earth has never seen before. There's going to be a greater purging than the earth has ever experienced before. And so there's going to be that trumpet that is blown. And when that trumpet is blown, it declares the time of purging and judgment upon the earth. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So what takes place? Okay, here he comes down. Notice what happens. He's descending from heaven. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a voice. There's going to be a trumpet, and when all that takes place, what takes place is now we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together, the Bible says, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible goes on, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So what takes place is now there's him descending, and he's descending with a shout. And all this is happening at the same time. There's the voice of the archangel, and there's the blowing of the trump of God. And when that takes place, the graves break open. And though I'm talking about quick, the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye.
So now all of a sudden those graves, they break open and the dust begins to ascend heavenward. And as it comes into the presence of God, it takes on that glorified body as the soul and the body is reunited together. And the Bible says, those that are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with him forever. And the Bible says, listen to it now, with him in the clouds. And so there's going to be a heavenly meeting in the cloud. Now, but you say, people's going to be pointing up there and saying, boy, look at that and look at that. No, there's going to be mass chaos. Where did the millions go? Sitting in school, two children are sitting side by side and one is taken, the other is left behind. Two people working in the fields and one is taken, the other is left behind. Two people working in a mill, one is taken, the other is left behind. There's going to be a time when that rapture takes place and people are going to go into mass hysteria because they just don't know what's happening. I sure am glad I'm going to be a part of the happening. Here's what it says in John 14 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Hello. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine? We were in the Philippines and I was preaching a pastor's conference. And at the time I was preaching a pastor's conference here, my house in Forney was supposed to be being built. We came back and because of the inclement weather and because of the freezing of the ground and whatnot, they'd not even started on it. At first we were disappointed. Then we thought, hey, it's neat because we'll get to see it being built. So when they put the slab down, we walked out and we walked all around the slab. Thought, hey, this is neat. If it was built, we wouldn't be able to do that. And then we watched them put up the 2x4s and the 4x8s and, you know, the 8x12s and whatever. And so we went in there and we started signing all the stuff. You know, we got our names on some posts in there and some dates. Amen. If I sell it, I'm still there. No, I'm kidding. But we did. We signed it. You know, we never would have been able to do that if we had been gone. So it was a neat process. And we came back and they put the wrong tile in. We're supposed to have these little 12x12s put in. They put in, I think it was 14x16s or something like that. What was it, honey? 18x18, the huge tile. They made a mistake. And they said, well, you know, we'll just have to charge you more. I said, no. You can rip it up. They said, well, it would cost us a lot of money to rip it up. I said, well, then leave it down. And so if we leave it down, we got to charge you. I said, no. Rip it up. Well, it costs us a lot of money to rip it up. Well, then leave it down. We have to. No, you're not getting it. And they said, oh, okay. We'll leave it down and we won't charge you. I said, you got it. You know, but we're able to be there during the process of all the things that was taking place. May I say, can you imagine? Now, they built that house. Brother Chris, they built that house quick. Brother Magnin, that thing went up. I mean, it was once they started on that thing, it was like overnight. Now, let me tell you a more excellent builder than any human man. God himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. Have you ever walked into, I've been in Bangkok, Thailand many times, and I've been down to the palace of the king, and when you walk in there, there's things overlaid in gold and all sorts of stuff like that, and you walk in there and you just marvel. You think, wow, look at this. You know, the palace of the king. I mean, you just marvel at what you see. You know, but can you imagine, that was built by an earthly king and his ancestors. Can you imagine the perfection that's going to be that you see in heaven? Oh, come on, here's what we do. We say, boy, I got to have it now. And we run after a tin can that has a motor in it that we call a car. And we get all excited about it. Back in my day, they were not tin cans, by the way. When I was a youngster and you knocked on it, it knocked back at you. Now if you knock on it, it vibrates. But back in my day, I mean, these things were built like tanks. You know, you didn't have to worry about your kid wrecking the car, you worried about who your kid would wreck into with the car. But now, you know, but can you imagine? God is not looking for a cheap imitation of the real thing. God is not looking for something just to get by where he can put more money into his heavenly bank account. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything down here belongs to him, period. Bible talks about things in heaven and in earth. Everything that's in earth and everything that's in heaven belongs to him. You can't improve on that. You think about Solomon and his temple and how great Solomon's temple was. And by the way, may I say that you don't have to put gold in a church, but we are for fixing up. And you know, the Lord gave us the roof and we're fixing up, of course, all the hallway stuff like that. We're working diligently because, you know, church ought to be a place that does look first class. We're fixing up the hallways. We're going to move in here and fix up the auditorium, make it look nice and stuff like that. But may I say, are you listening to me? What is more important than the building is you. When we speak of church, it's not the building. The church is comprised of born-again, baptized believers that come together. That's you, beloved. Wait a minute, watch this, if you will. So he's going to descend. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a voice. There's going to be a trumpet. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air and shall ever be with the Lord. The Bible goes on, as we talked a moment ago in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And by the way, God is the one that has been building those mansions. God is the one that's been building those places. You can't improve upon the perfection of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, and I'm done. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He said, look, I just talked to you about the rapture. Now, let that be a comfort to you. Because there will be a day when there is no more sad goodbyes. There will be a day when there is no more trips to the graveyard. There will be a day when there is no burial places. There will be a day when there is no more sickness, when there is no more weakness, when there is no more destruction of the body. There will be a day when there is no more rebellion or murder or abortions or hate crimes or crimes themselves or gambling or Hollywood sins. That there will be a day when you and I are caught away. There will be a day. Then he says, look, comfort each other. By the way, it's comforting. It's comforting to be able to talk to the staff and know that they're saved. It's comforting. It's comforting to talk to different ones and know that they're saved. But I tell you what, if you're sitting here this morning, and I don't care what your stature is in the community. I don't care what your educational background is. Does not matter this morning what your status is in society, how much money you have in a bank account, how much of a personality, flair, or popularity you have. Without Christ, you'll not go to heaven. I want to ask you a question. Are you prepared for the rapture? Are you prepared? All of a sudden, rapture takes place. Boom. Are you going? Are you going? Or are you going to be left behind?
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.